Samach Gimel. Again, Ella Amar Rava. So Rava says, you know what's going on? Second to last line. Kishachivna, when I die, Ravosha Nafik Levasi. I know that the one who's going to come greet me is going to be Ravosha. There's this concept, very interesting concept. Somebody who always looks to try and defend or promote a certain rabbi's position or vote very much was involved in understanding this great rabbi. That rabbi, when a person dies, is greeted by the rabbi who predeceased him, who he's so devoted to. That's the concept. We find that there's a number of stories that wild stories that. Supposedly, Rav Rosh Yeshiva, who lived not that long ago, there was one who was very close to, who would always study Rabbi Kiva Eger and try to explain what Rabbi Kiva Eger's thing. And when he was dying, he died young, but he said, prepare a chair for Rabbi Kiva Eger who's coming to greet me. He was able to perceive. Anyway, the same exact thing is what the Gemara is saying, that Rava worked very hard to explain the Mishnah based on Rav Oshia's braises. As we know, the prices, which didn't make it to the Mishnah, were a combination of Rav Chia and Rav Oshia. So he always tried to explain the Mishnah according to Rav Oshia. So he says, Rav Oshia is going to come greet me. Why did Tamaratz Tamasnis Kavasi? Because I look to always explain the Mishnah according to his opinion. The Tanit Rav Oshia learns. So we're going to see it right now. Haresha Yenosha B'chaber Amana. Guy lends 100. Okay, v'halach v'amar agarna. The guy standing on his silo. V'amar tainli mosai. Look, I lent you the money. The 100 was a loan. You owe me back 100. Now give me my money. Shani rotzu ligach ben chitin, because I need the money to buy wheat. V'amar lo chitin yeshli. Oh, you want wheat? I'm happy to give you. I have wheat. You want wheat? I'll give you wheat. Shani nesan lach. Here. Seva son alai kishashal achshav. Fine. Well, let's check the price. We're going to set the price of the wheat based on today's market. Okay. Cool. Okay, fine. He gives man chitin limkar. And then he didn't actually take possession of the wheat. He wanted to do it as the wheat as an investment. You following? So he took the wheat. He got the wheat. And now it's later on in the season. And the price of wheat rose. Went up. And it's time to sell the wheat. Now I want the wheat because I'm ready to sell the wheat. The market is increased and I made my money. I'm good. Because it's the wine season. And now, earlier in the season, when you buy the wheat early, you get a better pricing. Later on in the season, you could sell it for more. The wine season is later. So the wine, you following? So now I want to sell. This is my business, right? I'm selling the wheat at the increased price, and with it, I'm buying the wine at the early price. You follow? So I want to sell the wheat.
You make some money with the wheat.
Yeah, and I'm gonna with the money that profit that I make the wheat, I'm gonna buy wine.
Wine
on the early in the I'm buying wine when it's on the early season when it's still cheaper. Amar le yesh yayin. So the guy says, you want wine? I'll give you wine. No problem. Shani nesan lach. Teva nasa like ishash lachshav. Okay. I'll give you the wine to that amount, whatever the wheat's worth today, and that's the amount of wine I'm giving you. No problem.
Which is bigger than the reward price.
Which is a bigger, right, exactly. What happened? Igiyaz man yayin limkar. Then it came time for the wine to sell. Okay, the wine market went up. I want to sell the wine. Give me the wine now that I'm ready to sell it. Because now it's the beginning of the oil season and I want to sell the wine, buy the oil. You following? Amrlai, what are you worried about? I got the oil. I'll give you the oil at this price. Check the pricing on the oil today. Kulam. In all this scenario,
if the oil was this is cheaper, the case. He will make a double revach.
Right, of course, that's what he's doing. He's making a revach and a revach and a revach. First, he's buying the wheat cheap. He's getting the wheat on the low price. He's transferring wheat to wine when the wine's low. Then he's transferring the wine to oil when the wine is up and the oil's low.
Why is businessman?
He's a businessman. Anyway, but meantime, he never got back his money at all. Okay, this is all theoretical.
He He's trading.
Exactly. So here's the question. Kulam im yesh lai, if the person who borrowed the money actually has the item, then it's okay. Ain lo asur. But if he doesn't have it, basically, I don't have anything. I don't have wheat. I don't have wine. I don't have oil. I don't have none of that.
The same quantity that is borrowed, or just a symbol like
the value.
Like say today,
the lock-in price.
$1. If you have $1 in Mexico, when you lend in dollars, so you should have $1, so you can lend in dollar. It's not considered a rebate, even if right. the currency rate is
changed. Right. So the point being is here he doesn't have anything. It's all fake. You understand?
Not fake. I don't.
No. If he's in possession of the wheat, this guy.
But the possession is not. He has the
listen carefully. If he has it in possession, then everything's real and it's legal. If he doesn't have it in possession, then what's he doing? He's basically saying, look, I don't have the money to pay you back. Okay, I have wheat. I'm giving you. I know you're not eating the wheat. You only want the wheat to sell. So, okay. Wheat price. Okay? I'm giving you all the wheat price.
What's the problem?
I
mean, I don't know. I have
in the end, when he's going to give back money.
Sure, because he made some review. He made
we're talking about the borrower. The point being is the borrower actually had no wheat, no wine, no oil, nothing.
He made transactions.
He made believe. It was imaginary transactions.
Why? Because he had a backup of the wheat.
No, he didn't. That's what we said. If he has the wheat in possession, you're right. The wine in possession, you're right. The oil in possession, then fine. It's all legal because he actually has the wheat. But if he's not in possession of it, the guy says, I lend you $100, give me the $100 I'm back. I need the $100, I want to buy wheat. So he says, okay, I'm locking you in at the price for wheat, whatever it is today. Did he buy the wheat? Is anybody in possession of the wheat? No, he doesn't have the money.
You don't need to.
The guy doesn't have the money.
The oil guy can go to the wheat.
No, but the wheat, the person who borrowed the money doesn't have anything. He's faking it. He does. He made believe.
It's like the gold behind the dollar.
Yeah, but it's all imaginary. You following? He borrowed money, and then he's going to pay back a lot more money. Okay. He didn't have any of the wheat, wine, or oil. If he had, then he's the real transactions over here, and it's fine. But if he had nothing,
so why is it allowed? Like in $1, I don't need to own the same amount I'm borrowing.
This I don't know. Okay, you have to ask the rabbis in the
No, Mexico. It's international. It's also
I know, but I'm saying Israel. Whoever. I mean, that's where it's common. But I'm saying I'm not sure how that works.
The source is here.
It's somewhere in here. I don't know where it is, but anyway. Anyway, the bottom line is, if he's not in possession at all, then nothing. So then it's.
Would I have an agreement that even though I don't have possession of the weed, I have agreement because I was a borrower of the.
You borrowed from me cash.
Okay, that's easy.
And I want to buy. I want my cash back because I want to buy wheat today. I know it's a good time to buy wheat.
I can buy it to you with the earnings of the.
Did you give me the wheat? No, this is the first transaction. I said, give me my money so I can buy the wheat. You say no. You know what? What is the cost of the wheat? It's as if you bought the wheat, as if. Locked in at the wheat price. Then it goes up. What do you mean? You stole. Basically, you're paying me back more. It's just a fancy way of doing interest. You understand? You're borrowing one money and you're giving me more. That's the problem. Okay. If he's in possession, it works. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Okay. Amarava. So Rabbi says, Shema Mina, we see from this, Mida Ravoshia, Talas. Three chidushim. Three important principles. Number one, Shema Mina, Dema Mida Malva.
Each one has to have possession. You cannot do it by word.
It has to be that there's something real backing up the transaction.
At least the first transaction.
All things.
All the three transactions.
All three transactions. He has to be in possession. It can't be imaginary.
What is the other thing?
Yuda, you want to say something? One second. I'm just putting it on mute. Okay.
Rabbi, it's very simple. We're doing it every day. I mean, you buy futures.
Yes, futures.
Right. Down, you buy a whole big way we don't
know. Yeah, but the guy's selling nothing. He's borrowing money and he's paying back more.
A guy's a fake, that's all.
Exactly. Very good. Okay. That's exactly what we're concluding. Okay. All right. So three chidushim come from this din of Rav Hoshea. Number one, Shema Mino Demamide Malve Al Gabi Peres. First of all, the lender is standing on top of the Peres. Okay. What that means is that a lender it can lock in the price on the produce according to that it's that set price. All years, or for the whole year, which we talked about as an opposing opinion that disagreed with that. Okay? V'lo amrina d'lo ki isra habal yada. We don't say that, hey, but it's like you didn't pay for that money, which was the other opinion that we saw. Reb Chiya, the earlier daf, yesterday's daf, we had a problem with this. Meaning, I never give, if I pay you now and I lock in a price, that's fine. But I'm not paying you. I lent you money. And because of the loan I gave you, I'm locking in a price. Who says that's good enough? Well, Rav Hoshea says that is good enough. That's one. He's arguing on Rav Chiya. Number one. Number two. Shema minah d'yeshlo. Who d'yeshlo? That it's only if he actually has it in hand. If he doesn't have the wheat or the wine or the bar or the oil, it's not going to be allowed. Shema minah yislo d'Rav Yanei. And the last thing, chiddush, is that we hold on like Rav Yanei. What is Rav Yanei? Dam Rav Yanei. Mali hein, mali demen. Rav Yanei says, "You don't. What's the difference between getting the money back or getting the value of the money in wheat? It's the same thing." Okay. Ditmar, where do we see Rav Yanei's statement? Rav Amar Oisin Amana Biperus, Pein Oisin Amana Bidamin, which basically means, okay, meaning I give money in trust. According to the current price that's in the market, on the condition to get the payros, even if the price goes up, meaning by me prepaying, I'm entitled to a cheaper price, and because of that, because I'm trusting you, so therefore I can lock in a lower price. But I can do that ve'enos and I'm gonna be dumb, but I can't do so with money. Okay, meaning. Meaning if I'm getting a deal of the apparel, but I don't want the actual produce because I'm in the business of selling it. So what I'm going to only want really is the money. You follow what Rav's opinion is? I'm locking in the price of wheat by giving you the money to whatever it is. You know, a five pound bag of flour. Let's make it for $1. $1.50. That's the locked-in price. That's the price I'm getting for it, and I'm giving you $1,000. Now, I'm not going to take that from you, because I'm not really interested in the flour. I'm just going to buy it to sell it. That's what I do. So what do? You're going to sell it at $3, and you're going to give me back the money. You following? That, says Rav, you can't do that, because I'm giving you $1,000, and I'm making $2,000, basically, at the end. Okay? That's not allowed. For Rav Yanei, Amar Mali Hei Mali Demen. Rav Yanei has no problem with that. What's the difference between them and the value? So I didn't get the. So it's no different. Even if the end he's getting the money, it's all good. So Meisve, we have a question. Kulam im yesh le mutter. We said if he has it, it's all allowed. Okay, if he's in possession of these products, then it's legal. Okay, so. We ask on that, and it sounds like, what am I getting, though? I'm getting money in the end, based on the value of the wheat, which is akasha on Rav. So Rav Huna Rav, Bishem Mashach. That's because he actually took possession of the wheat. That's a different story. So Gemara says, Bishem Mashach, Tzricha L'meimer, if he actually took possession of the wheat, what's the Chiddush? El Kegon Sheyichad Lo Keren Tzavos. He didn't actually take it. He just said, your wheat is sitting in the corner. It's a set place where your wheat is actually located. So it's real. It's a real transaction. Shmuel Amar Hamari, you want to know another pshat and a different answer? Rabbi Yehuda is going to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Tzadeh Ribis Mutter, who says one sided interest is not prohibited. Titania was this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Interesting thing. What does it mean one sided ribis? Harei Shaya No Yishe Bechaver Money. Guy owes him money. And one second, that we ran out of time here. A guy owes him money, okay? And, all right, Vasalo Sodeu Mecher. And basically said, until I pay you back, you, this is your field. Like a sale. Bismancha mokrocha peres. If the seller eats the fruit in the meantime, motor, then it's a legal transaction, because the borrower, the buyer who's lending the money, is not gaining. Okay? But if the buyer eats the peros, that's the case that we saw before, that's us, sir. Why? Because I'm eating the peros, then when you pay me back the full amount plus the peros that I received. That's a problem. Rabbi Yudomer, no, up is much alokechocha peros mutar. He says such a thing is actually legal, even when the buyer eats the fruit. Amr le Rabbi Yudomer, maisa bisus bin zainin. Story is a case that actually happened in the previous generation. Bisus bin zainin. Sha'asa sadeo mecher. He made his field into a sale, basically. Alpi Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, with the authority of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He was the rabbi who basically gave his stamp on it, that it's okay, stamp of approval. But and the buyer was the one who was eating the fruit. And basically he's saying, look, it's a purchase, and with a buyback option. And therefore, the fact that he was eating the fruit, he was eating a fruit of a field that belonged to him. And the guy wants to buy it back, he buys it back. That's not a proof. The case was over there that it was the seller who was eating the fruit. Not the buyer. My benai, what's the difference between Rav Yehuda and Rav, what's the machlokas here? Amar Abaye, Tzarecha b'ribis hika b'nayu. One-sided ribis, is that prohibited or not? What does that mean, one-sided ribis? Meaning, it might come to ribis, it might not. What if there's nothing in the field and there's no produce? So then it won't be getting anything extra. So it's a if. It's not a definite that I'm getting more. It's only maybe. I have the field. I'm in possession of the field. If there's something, some produce in the field, then I gain more than I'm lending. If there's nothing there, then I'm not gaining anything more than I'm lending. So that's called sad echad beribis. It's only one option. It's a possibility, but it may or may not occur. According to Rav Yehuda, that's fine. That's the machlokas. That's not called ribis. Yeah. As long as it's not a definite that you're getting it.
Do they call it Safek Ribbis or Lak Ribbis?
No, it calls it Tzad Echad B'Ribbis. Okay, one side. Meaning one side of possibility. So it's a chance. Okay.
No cigar.
Right. Rava Amar, no, Ribbis Amanas Haxer, it could be a different case. If he actually gets it, we're talking about that once if he got anything extra and the guy comes up with the money and he's ready to pay back. If he can't come up with the money, I keep the field, there's no ribbis. If the guy comes up with the money, then all the fruit that I ate, I'm going to give it back to him. I'm keeping track of what I'm eating. And that's the case. And that's machlokas. Even according to Rav, even if my intention is to pay him back, in the meantime, it's ribbis, because it's still not allowed. And Rav Yehuda says it's allowed. That's the other opinion. Amar Rav Ashdod, Amar Rav Yanai. Now that Rav Yanai says, this is an interesting idea, Mali Hemali Demeyan, that we don't make a difference between the money itself or the what's worth that money. So who cares whether he has the money to pay you, or instead of paying you in money, he pays you in wheat that's worth that amount. It's the same thing. And therefore, this is a legal transaction. That's what we saw with Rabbi Yane before. And it's not a matter. It's not an interest issue. So if that's what we say, Mali Dehein, Mali Demein, Aminan. So Mali Demein, Mali Hei, Nami Aminan. That's true. It's true the other way as well. That when it comes to the end, and he wants to get the wine or the oil, who cares whether he gives him wine, or he gives him the money, the value of the wine, which is the man, money, which is much more money. So in other words, that's the basically not like Rav. Rav says that the only time you could do amana is with actual payers. Here, it's Rav Yani, it's not like that. That's what we're saying. Okay, uposken al shar b'shuk, you can lock in the price of the market. And even if he doesn't have a possession, what's the difference? You're locking in at that price. That's the idea. So he's here, Papa of Rav Huna, Breed Rav Yishol, Rav Huna. Comes along with Papa and Rav Huna, Breed Rav Yishol, ask Rav a question. Kulam im yesh le mutar, im ein le osur. It says, we quoted before, that it's only permissible if he's in possession, not if he's not in possession. So, and here it sounds like you want to say even if he's not in possession of it. You're right. If it's a loan, that's when it's problematic. But when it's an actual sale, when I'm not borrowing any money from you, I'm giving you money for the current price, and I'm you're saying, okay, I'll give you wheat at that price, and that's the going price of wheat. Does he have to actually buy the wheat or not? That's the question. I want to lock in a price of wheat. The guy's the business. The guy's the he deals with the wheat producers. Does he need to actually take possession of the wheat? Or look, you got it locked in at that price. Whether I buy it or not is irrelevant. Mali hain, mali demand is really what we're saying. So he's saying, when is it not allowed? When it's a loan. I lent you money, and now you're paying me back more than I lent you. Here, I'm buying the wheat. The fact that you didn't have the possession of the wheat is not my problem. It's not anybody's problem. Okay, so that's perhaps the difference. Rabbi Rav Yosef Tamar Tabayi, my time, Amar Rabbanan Paiskan al Sharim Shok. Why did the rabbi say that it's okay to do this? Even if he doesn't have the guy who's giving you the price of wheat at that market price, even though he doesn't have the wheat, Amar Lei, Shkilati Busech, Vishad Yachizri. My honestly, what benefit am I getting from you? If I had money in my hand, have a mizavnina bihini vishili. I would be going to the local towns where I could make profit, where I could buy it. The problem is I need my cash. I could get it much cheaper than you. Okay? So what are you doing me? And there's no favors that you're doing for me. I could, if I had the cash that you're holding, that's my money, I would go and buy it in the neighboring towns, you know, go to where the producers are and get it at a discount. Some of that pile of Yosef, El Miata Mutter Lilva Sobisal, are you allowed to lend a saw of flour to get back a saw? Should be the same thing. Mishum Damatzi Amarle, you could say the same thing. Shkula to Vasech, don't do me any favors. Vishadia Chizri, basically your favor is no favor. It's an expression. The Amarle, Chiti de Kadchi, Vachalboy. My head wheat. When I gave you the wheat, I had it protected in my silo, that it was not subject to any market, you know, protected from the elements, basically. And now you're you know, so I want that wheat. Now the fact that the wheat went up because the wheat in the field is it rained or whatever it is, why should I lose out? What I gave you was a wheat that was protected. Had I still had it, I would be having the wheat of then. So Amalei, there's a difference. When it's a loan, it's different than when it's a purchase. And that's the case over here. When you're doing a purchase, there's a lot more latitude because you're not, he's buying something, buying the right to buy that thing at that price. That's a different story. Okay. Amalei Rav Adabar Avad L'Rava. I have a boiler mace of Zuzel Sapsira. He is saving something, because there's an extra payment that you normally pay for the transaction. The safsir is the middleman. There's always a middleman. It's not a new thing. There's a middleman who takes from the you know who takes
so
the.
So for the conclusion, the argument about if I should keep the chitim in my warehouse, I would have the same increasing.
Right.
So it's a good argument.
That is a good argument when it's a sale, but not when it's a loan. That's what he's saying. It's the difference between a loan and a sale. In a sale, you're right. In a loan, it's problematic. That's what we're saying. Two different things. That's what we're explaining. It's two types of transaction. One's a loan, one's a sale. It's different. Amalei de kayavlei. So what about the extra funds of that the middleman takes? Some of the kayovle nami, he gives it. Ravash yamer zuzit inchi inhu avdi leisav sirusa. Person who's in possession of cash, that's the same as that saves you the cost of the middleman. You know why? Because the people come will find you. The people who are producing it, they'll actually go your way to whoever has the money. That's who they want to bring the deal to. That's an expression they have in English. cash is king. If the person who they know is able to pay them, they want their money. So if the guy, so normally you go through the middleman, he'll find the guy with the money. But if it is a broker, you need a broker. But otherwise, if you have the money, so they'll find the deal for you. They'll bring it to you. Okay, which brings us to the next thing. It's overtime almost. Okay, how late are we? Okay, one more minute. Rabba v'Rav Yosef Darmat Havai Haman Yav Zuzi Atarat Harifa. Person gave money for the early market price, which is much quicker, much lower. He has to show up at the silo. You can't get it, you know, in the office. Okay, lemai. What is the purpose of that? Ilam mikne, if it's to buy, halokani, he's not buying. Ilam kabule le mishapara. You want to know mishapara, meaning because he can't back out. Again, he's paying the money up front. He's giving cash right now. The guy can't back out. He gave the cash already. So the Gemara says, "Loilum lekabula the mishapara." It's for the mishapara. What's the problem? Adiyov zuzi atara harifa the betray tlasiyav. The guy who gives the money for the early price, he's not giving it to one producer. He gives it to a few people. And the guy doesn't know that the guy's going to buy it at that price. He just knows that I have the money in hand if I'm ready to sell it now, and I'm not taking any risk as a producer, and it's worth it to me to sell a certain portion of it right away up front. Okay, so im ischazile samchadaite, then the producer will trust him. If I see him at the silo, I was like, okay, I know he's legit, and he really wants to follow through with this purchase. Maybe you found produce that's a little better quality than what I have, and you really don't want to go through with this transaction. Then you'll take it from him, and you'll take the money back. So that's why I need to see him. So Amarab Ashi, Rav Ashi says, Hash damit, mishum demismich dait, that has to do with how the producers look at that, even if he met him not at the silo, but in the market, and they were face to face with each other, you say, look, I really want to know, I'm buying it with you, I'm fine, I want to close the deal, that's enough to make the deal go through. All right, we'll stop over here. All right.